This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts right now. 60 minutes on the clock for the second portion of the program. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. First hour was obviously driven by the latest content in the cheating scandal feedback, I guess we should say. And that is, as a topic, as we mentioned, won't go away. So it's our job doing what we do to touch on some of the new that comes out every day. With that being said, while you were out, Barry, Rockets made some moves.
Oh.
So I thought we might get your opinions on what Nick and I were able to kind of break down a little bit. But for those of you that missed it over the course of the All-Star break, Jeff Green, a one-time teammate of Russell Westbrook and James Harden in Oklahoma City, who was bought out by the Utah Jazz earlier in the season, has been added on a 10-day contract. And then Damari Carroll, who had just signed a three-year deal with the Spurs this offseason, but had only played 15 games for Greg Popovich, was bought out on Monday. And both, although Green is the only one that's been announced, both are assumed to be joining the squad, as the squad has already departed and landed and been in San Francisco for a day before they play the Warriors tomorrow night. But thoughts on the new additions?
I don't think it's enough. Neither one of those names that I look at and go, okay, that's going to be the guy. I mean, what does Green shoot for his career from three-point range? He's 33%.
I mean, he's a guy that a couple years ago, I started, and Nick remembered this as well, but I had been a staunch guy going to get Jeff Green in the last couple years. But I don't know what he's got left in the tank. When he was a 6'9", 3-and-D guy that could play multiple positions in the peak of his career, I'd say perfect add. Now, I'm happy that's the kind of guy they're going after. I just don't know what he can still do.
He's 33. The best year he's ever had was he shot about 38% two different times, but he was only taking two a game. So that shows you right there. If he's going to shoot that well, he's probably not shooting that many. And that a couple of years ago, I think he averaged 4.8 one year and shot 34% in Boston. That's not bad. He's bounced around a lot. And usually when you see guys bounce around a lot, it's one of two things. If you're that good, people don't let you go. And they certainly don't trade you that much. You might get traded once as part of a big deal. But if you've bounced around that much, that tells me something about him. I don't know a ton about him. About Jeff Green or Damari Carroll. I just know that it's not a sexy enough name for me to think that, well, that changes the complexity of the Rockets in the West.
And I think you hit the nail on the head that we were talking about, too. The one thing that it became very painfully obvious to me right away is they are sticking with small ball, because we thought that on the buyout market, if there was a big to be had, they would have gotten a big that D'Antoni at least had some trust in. So they're going to stick with small ball. They're going to take it for all it's worth and try and take advantage of it and see if it can translate not only to the regular season but to the playoffs, because the two guys they got are better than average for their size guarding the low post, but they're definitely not the kind of guy that you're going to put on, you know, big bigs in the West and say, go win a championship.
Damari Carroll 6'6", Jeff Green 6'8". So yeah, neither one of them are really big at all. I'm trying to look up Damari Carroll's numbers. It's not sexy at all.
You don't have that much time. He played here once before when I was with the team. They let him go. He kind of flourished a little bit after that. Got some deals with some teams where he played fairly well. Now he's back. So we'll see if that does anything on the radar. What I will say is, in case you slept and missed it last night or were too focused on the Astros, a massive move in my mind that happened in the NBA that was unexpected may have changed the landscape in terms of title contention again. Last night, Reggie Jackson was not Mr. October. Reggie Jackson, the point guard, was bought out by the Detroit Pistons. He immediately was on his way to LA to sign with the Clippers. The Clippers, when we talk about what the Rockets need to do about building your bench, fortifying your roster, they just added a guy that is going to add instant punch to their second unit and boost them. They were one of the two teams, as I mentioned, with the Lakers trying to get Darren Collison when he was rumored to be coming out of retirement. He stayed retired. This is one no one saw coming that immediately boosts the LA Clippers.
It really does. I mean, a really good team just got better.
Yep.
And it's you know, if I know Beverly has been out, but it gives you another threat, right? It gives you another guy you have to worry about. It gives you depth in case of injury. Like, there's a lot of reasons why that move is significant for this team, because, you know, if Pat Bev goes out and you love the fact that Lou Williams comes off the bench, great. You can just run Reggie Jackson out there and let Lou Williams still play that role of you're going to get 30 from your sixth man. So
it's a smart move. Check out their second unit, fellas, because you're right. The main thing is now Lou Williams is where he always should be, which is a sixth man of the year candidate, instant offense off the bench. But tell me that their second unit couldn't win some games if they were just their own squad.
Man.
When you talk about Montrezl Harrell, Lou Williams, and Reggie Jackson right off the top. Because the other one that people sleep on is, hey, yeah, we just talked about what the Rockets added, but guess what the Clippers added when they had a chance? Marcus Morris, Reggie Jackson. That's a championship caliber team getting better right there.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah. So now they're loaded. The Lakers are loaded. And you got to hope that small ball catches them somehow off guard. But now they can go small ball on you, and their small ball center, if it's Montrezl Harrell, can run with your wings and also take you into the low post and score.
Yeah, they go about, what, 7-8 deep now? Like, legit 7 or 8 deep.
Not, legit 8 or 9.
Not backups just for the sake of backups, but they're that's bad news for the league, not just from a talent perspective, but remember, if you can get – you've got more guys on your bench that – are worthy of playing time. It gives some of your other guys the opportunity to rest more, not just through it down the stretch in the season, but also in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that's bad news for the league. That's for sure.
I saw a report either in one NBA executive or multiple NBA executives says there's no way that the Lakers beat the Clippers. Like, there's no way.
I think it'd be a hell of a series.
With this addition, like, he's that convinced that now the Clippers are just over the top, which I don't know if it's a done deal. Lakers are still super talented.
Yeah.
They're also very deep.
And have depth. So
Look, as much as all these moves have helped the Clippers, I still, when I watch that Lakers team play and how together they are this year as opposed to the year previous, with all the different guys they brought in, I think that the Lakers are as talented as any team depth-wise in this league. So I think that would be one hell of a series to see, with two teams that deep and talented going at each other with two prolific superstars on each side.
To me, the difference between the two LA teams is I think the Lakers might be a little better defensively.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, look at points per game. 107, they're giving up 107. Clippers giving up 110. And they're scoring about the same. So it's not a possessions game. It's not there. I mean, I understand what you're saying because you got Montrez coming off the bench, but and Kawhi, I get it.
But if you take Kawhi, Paul George, and Pat Beverly just as three perimeter defenders, that is absolutely lights out lockdown.
I mean,
you throw Harrell in there because of the fact that he's athletic, strong, and he can play big.
JaVale McGee, Anthony Davis, Dwight. I mean, you've got three.
JaVale McGee to me is okay. Yeah, around the rim.
Danny Green.
Danny Green's a good defender.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron holds his own defensively as well.
They're a little older, but even
Rondo is decent. I mean, they've got a lot of good defenders out there in LA. No.
And like I said, I think they're the two most talented teams in the West for sure. Mm-hmm. You can throw Milwaukee in the mix, but I really believe it's going to come down to which LA team wins out. And then I don't think the Bucks are as talented across their depth.
And I'm not trying to be funny here. I'm asking legitimately. I mean, the fact that the Lakers are giving up three less points a game than the Clippers, why would you say that is if you feel like the Clippers are the more talented defensive team?
A lot's due to injury. A lot's due to injury. Beverly's missed a lot of time. Paul George has missed a lot of time.
Fair enough.
Kawhi sits out, you know, a lot.
That's true.
With rest and load management. But I think when you want to put, when I talked about that suicide lineup on defense the Rockets used to be able to put out there, you put out a lineup that features Pat Beverly, Montrezl Harrell, Paul George, and Kawhi Leonard, and then Lou Williams becomes a better defender. Marcus Morris makes them a better team defensively.
Well, he's the guy that hadn't been there.
But yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If you look at what Lou Williams did this year when he was on the floor with that lineup and his steals and the things that he was able to do, and I'm not saying he's a shutdown, lockdown defender, but he actually kind of bought into what they were doing, and that was a very versatile and really tough defensive lineup.
Yeah.
So it depends. Avery Bradley's a guy that's always been a great defender for the Lakers, but he's a little older, longer in the tooth now.
Right. And I mean, agree, but I don't know. I feel like that's, I don't know. when you think about James, Bradley, Green, Davis, and McGee as your starting five defensively, you don't look at any one of those and says he's an average to below average defender on that starting five.
But if I tell you that if you look at, and they start Zubats at the center.
Yeah.
But if you want to say the lineup that I put out there in the fourth quarter is going to be Montrezl Harrell, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Patrick Beverley, and Marcus Morris.
I think I'd still take the Lakers.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No. But it, you know what?
It's you got a debate Beverly, worth having because say, both teams are.
Beverly, Marcus Morris, yeah. Paul George,
Kawhi,
and Montrez.
I mean, I guess it's a coin flip. Because that doesn't scare. I don't know. Montrezl Harrell, is he that good defensively or is he just athletic? Am I wrong?
That's my point.
Tell
though.
Me I'm wrong.
When you're playing,
because if he's a great defender, then I'll suck it up and take the L.
When you're playing the defensive system they're playing in terms of rotations and contests and running around, you know, switching, that's he's the perfect five or center for that kind of defense.
Okay,
because they're going to run. The okay. LA is probably going to need more half court.
Okay.
All right. All right, so we'll continue to roll on. Just threw a little basketball in there for you. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HRP Listener Line. Call it number, text it number, hit us up on Twitter. Just the second hour right now of the three-hour extravaganza. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Roll through hour number two, three-hour show. It is Barry back in the fold along with Nick and myself as Nick's last day of the week with us.
Lucky dog.
Today, flies going to Vegas to tonight. Vegas. Seems like you live there.
Well, it has been two weekends or 2 weeks this month that I've been, and I'm lucky. I'm blessed. And I am looking forward to seeing this fight because it ended in a draw or a split draw, I think, last time. So
it's going to be good.
It's going to be a good fight.
Yeah. By the way, at the break, in the interest of fairness, because I always use numbers to thwart your dumb opinions.
I was just going to say you're our numbers guy until you said that, and then I'm not going to say anything.
So now I'm going to use numbers to give you props that I was definitely not right in claiming that.
Sorry.
I'm back. Such a jerk. I hate you so much. Never mind. You know what? Look, my computer locked up. Now I can't make my point. Never mind.
Okay. One other NBA note.
Just real quick. I was just kidding. But I looked up Lakers. So LeBron has the highest defensive win share of either team.
Really?
Yes. He's got a 0.153, which surprised me. I thought for sure who would have the highest defensive win share would be Kawhi.
Yeah.
Nope. LeBron's got a 0.153. Kawhi has a 0.133. That's a pretty significant difference.
Never would have guessed that.
Second on the list is another Clipper. So Kawhi is second on the list. And then third on the list is Marcus Morris. He's got a 0.129. But then you've got Anthony Davis with a 0.126. So there's your top four, right? Two each. And then it kind of falls off for the Lakers after that. You got a couple of 0.97s in Danny Green and Alex Caruso. Lakers, though. Bev with a 0.116. Paul George with a 0.109. Montrezl Harrell with a 0.108, to your point. And this one, okay, blew my mind. Lou Williams with a 0.101. Anything 0.10 is good.
I told you he got better because of the players around
him. Legit. So they've got a legit six players with a 0.10 or better. The Lakers have two. Now, they do have a couple of 0.097. So right there on the cusp of being good. But even if you grandfathered in a 0.097, it's six players to four. It's not even close. So I stand corrected. Clippers much better defensively.
The other story, I was going to ask you guys, are you good or would you not want to be J.B. Bickerstaff? Because for the third time in his career,
not want to be that poor guy.
He is taking over a team midseason. Because the Cleveland Cavaliers and John Beilein over the All-Star break have decided to part ways after he signed a five-year deal. I'd be interested in the buyout because he signed. He was in the middle of the first year of a five-year deal getting more than $4 million a year, and now they're parting ways. Beilein was an unbelievable college coach.
Yeah.
He was very unhappy, and the players, obviously, we remember go back to Kevin Love on the floor, was even, like, ticked off. He wasn't getting the ball, and then he made the comment about you guys aren't playing like thugs anymore, and that was a big deal.
Did you hear where the players would intentionally play songs with the word thug in them in the locker room?
No, but it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, you knew that wasn't going to last long once that started.
Yeah, there wasn't anything he could go back. I don't think he could recover from that when he made that. No one really knew at the time, but I think none of the players respected him after that comment.
And he tried to change it. There's no changing it. He said what he meant. He just probably didn't know the full meaning of it when he said it. But that's part of, again, being in a situation like he wanted to be in. A lot of college coaches want that attention and that money and prove they can do it on another level. But look at Tarkanian. And look at John Calipari, who people forgot failed miserably with the Nets. And really, Brad Stevens is about the only example of a college coach making that jump and being successful over the long haul. But I will tell you this. I think Beilein's going to get another job, and I think it's going to be at the end of the year, and another college is going to hire him because of his track record in the NCAA. But some coaches just realize that's where they belong. Just like some coaches realize I'm a better coordinator than I'm a head coach in the NFL. I think that people... they want that attention and that money, that NBA money, and they don't realize that sometimes it's not worth the hassle. But the funny thing was, Colin Sexton, their point guard, went out today, I think it was, on like the Wall Street Journal or something like that, talking about Beilein. And he's like, we had to tell him over and over again. He's a details guy. And it was details, 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 and making sure you're sticking to details. And then when we're out on the court, he's expecting us to go, go, go. And we had to tell him, Coach, we got to relax. It's an 82-game schedule. We can't just be going all out all the time. You just don't get it. And I'm like, see,
we can't be giving you 100%.
That's a bad look, too.
We can't give you 100%. We don't make enough. What?
I think the bigger thing is, if you know, he had a lot of young talent on that team. And I think he was hired because they thought, we're going to continue to stockpile all these draft picks, bring in all these young kids, and we need a guy that, much like a college situation, can bring them together, make kids into men, bring him along the way. What he didn't expect was he also still had Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love, and they ain't playing that. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to try and be disciplinarian in the film room and on the practice floor, you're going to get some pushback you weren't expecting from some guys making more money than you.
You could do it at the college level. Because even if you have the most prima donna, one-and-done player, you have to deal with him for one season. It's still your house. It's still your program as a coach. You do your best with dealing with that personality for that 1 year. And then you move on to the next. Now I think they're going to start allowing players going straight from high school back, you know, straight into the NBA. So I think it's even going to become better because a lot of the players that are going to be in college basketball are going to be players that need to develop before they can be deemed good enough to play in the NBA. So I think that makes it even easier for college basketball coaches. Guys like Calipari, he embraced the one and done situation so well. I think it's almost going to hurt him. But for the most part, it's easier to control somebody who's not that talented as opposed to someone who's really talented and makes several million dollars a year.
Yeah, well, the biggest difference is players, even like you said, even in a one and done, but players in college need you because for that 1 year, you've got to play me. You've got to get me the exposure. We've got to be a good team. And so therefore, even if it is a one and done, they need the coach and they need that system that they signed on the dotted line for. In the NBA, you're right. When you get guys that, for the majority of the locker room, make more money than you, and when it comes down to it, when there's trouble in the locker room, a lack of continuity on the floor, first guy to go is the coach because he's the cheapest change available.
And you're not going
to
fire the team.
Right.
Can't.
Look, props to JB Bickerstaff. I'd be lying to you if I told you that I'm surprised. I really am surprised because when he was the interim head coach here, he was out partying with the players, and that's a bad look, dude.
I told you that killed him. The minute he was at Dwight Howard's party and he was drinking with the players,
and he was on Twitter,
it's a bad look for the public to see. It's a worse look for the players to see because now the players go, "Oh, he's just one of us.
Don't respect.
He's not a guy that I have to respect."
Oh, that's why AJ stopped hanging out with me.
Oh, did you guys go to the UFC fights together?
No, we used to party all the time, and then I was like, "Hey, bro, big party at my crib, and he was like, I can't, bro. I just can't anymore. Oh, I didn't. I just thought he was just being a jerk. No, I get it now. Okay.
Okay. That's a good way to wrap up the first half of this show. We'll catch a beverage and reset the deck. Second half comes up next as we continue to roll till 4 o'clock. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel at the Gal Media Studios on a Wednesday hump day in the middle of the big city. Haven't touched anything NFL yet, but news, in case you care, tight ends. No, Nick, not yours. Greg Olsen joining the Seahawks on a one-year deal, $7 million. Leaving Carolina, was down to three teams. Redskins, Bills, Seahawks, decides to join Russell Wilson. Probably not a dumb decision, all things considered.
You could do worse.
Right?
I mean, now is this going to be another Jimmy Graham type of thing?
Well, don't think I didn't think for a second. Well, I'd rather have Greg Olsen than Jimmy Graham, and he's $1 million cheaper. Why not go do that deal, Green Bay? But I guess that wasn't in the mix.
No.
I never understood why he didn't work there, though. I mean, I liked Jimmy Graham initially.
He was really good in Seattle.
He got old. He was great in New Orleans. He was good in Seattle. And then they thought they were going to catch lightning in a bottle, and he was going to continue to be good. And he just – he didn't have the speed and the jumping ability anymore, and his route running was
– off.
Yeah, he fell off the cliff.
Yeah, he did.
In other tight end news,
they do that. Packers will do that to you. You don't trust the Packers, do you?
That's why you're a Chiefs fan. Jason Witten wants to play again in 2020. And if the Cowboys don't want him back, he said he's open to other teams. I give you exhibit that we just talked about, Jimmy Graham, as saying what team is going to go, you know, Jason's got something left in the tank. Yeah. I'm going to bring him in and I'm going to give him a couple mil.
I mean, what was his – he put up a few – I feel like
he was decent, but again, like you said, that was the number one offense in football, and they were passing it all over the place.
I felt like every time I looked up, I was watching a Jason Witten highlight, but it was like, is that because of ESPN and their infatuation with him? And what I mean, why did I have to see that? I would be interested to see where he ranked amongst all tight ends.
For last year.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure, but I think that it was more of a loyalty thing than anything else a year ago, too, when they brought him back out of the broadcast booth to do the entire nation a favor so they didn't have to listen to him on air anymore.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Of course that's what it was.
So I don't know if he's back or not, and obviously they have tons of contracts that they need to worry about, starting with Dak, Amari Cooper, others. And then Adrian Peterson, a little bit surprising here, the Redskins exercised their option to bring him back at about $2.5 million a year. So Adrian Peterson is going to get another run in with the Skins.
Despite calling him out. Didn't he call his front office out earlier?
Yeah, remember? He was doing an interview, and I want to say it was like with Yahoo Sports. And they said, if you had the opportunity to like call out or punch someone in your own locker room, who would it be? And the backdrop behind him was the front office and the stadium offices at Redskins Park. And he's like, well, I wouldn't do that to any of my teammates, ex-teammates, or coaches. But if you want to talk about the front office, I can tell you some things. And he pointed over there, and I was like, oh, wow. But he's coming back.
I respect that, though.
Okay.
No, you don't?
I mean,
$2.5 million, I mean.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I think what Barry's saying is I respect the fact he's being honest.
Yeah.
But I think it's...
If you could punch anyone here not on air unless they had a management job.
I'm not touching that. I just think until after you're done with a certain team.
Even if they were on air but still worked in management, who would it be?
I just think you'd wait until after you were there anymore before you made that decision.
I'm with you.
To point that out.
I'm with you. I look forward to listening to you on 610 say how you would punch AJ in the face.
AJ and I are boys, man.
I know. I'm just kidding. You guys are like best BFFs.
We're tight.
Yeah. Best friends. By the way, Jason Witten numbers.
Yeah.
Yards per game, he was 17th in amongst all tight ends.
Okay.
Per game. Now, total yards, he was 14th.
Middle of the road. And a little less than middle of the road.
Touchdowns, he tied for 14th. A lot of Jack Doyle.
Middle of the road.
Yeah. So, now, I mean, which, let's be real, after a year off and in the booth and another year older and this, that, and the other, it could be worse.
All right. So here's the one that you guys get to kick around this segment.
Okay.
Okay. The NFL, with their criteria, basically has five teams that could be the team for Hard Knocks this year.
Chiefs.
Okay.
Go Chiefs.
You can avoid inclusion on the show if they fall under any of these three exemptions. They have a first-year coach, they have a playoff berth in the last two seasons, or they've appeared on Hard Knocks in the past. Those exemptions wipe out all but five teams in the league. Here they are. You tell me who you want to see. Number five, the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
Number four, Jacksonville Jaguars. Number three, Arizona Cardinals.
I know who's going to be. No.
Number two, Denver Broncos. Number one, Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers, Broncos, Cardinals, Jags, Lions.
Steelers.
Who say you?
Steelers.
You say Steelers. Yeah. Nick, who do you say?
I would say the same thing. I feel like it's an obvious decision, is it not?
I think so.
I think the storylines for me, I would agree with you.
None Pittsburgh of those other ones are sexy enough.
But that's the whole point of Hard Knocks is the storylines.
You've got Big Ben. You've got Mike Tomlin. I want to see Mike Tomlin kind of behind the scenes, right?
The Rudolph that they're still dealing with.
Mason Rudolph,
The Mason Rudolph situation.
Antonio Brown.
You know he's going to try to get some run off of that.
They can ask Ben, hey, what do you think about his apology? All kinds of stuff.
Now, I would say not quite as compelling, but with still storylines, Arizona, because you got Kyler Murray. You got a great all-time dude in Larry Fitzgerald. You've got a second-year head coach that made the jump immediately from college.
Super handsome.
But that chicks dig, right?
Yeah.
In Cliff Kingsbury.
Going to get the female viewers.
Yeah, so I think that they would be up there. Detroit,
Nah, there's nothing about Detroit that I want to see.
The Jags? No.
No, not really.
I mean, now that Coughlin's gone and he's not setting the clocks 5 minutes fast.
What's his name?
And they're not screwing over every player with an injury?
Why am I not able to remember their quarterback's name?
Who? Which one? Detroit?
The Jags. Oh. Not Foles, but the quirky guy.
Oh, yeah.
Gardner Minshew.
Gardner Minshew, yep.
He might be interesting on Hard Knocks because of his personality, but he's just one. And I'm sure there are other personalities on there. But, man, I don't know. When you've got the storied, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers and Big Ben and just Mike Tomlin and that, I would love to see all that, I think.
Denver?
Just seeing Mike Tomlin would be enough.
Do we need video footage of how bad Elway is?
No.
I mean, his record speaks for itself as a general manager.
Yeah, I don't care anything about
Denver. Von Miller?
Nah. I think I'm with you. Arizona might be second. I'd go Pittsburgh, Arizona, and then the Jags.
I'll tell you what could get interesting, and Nick and I talked about this, and I don't know if you saw this or not, but the odds now are that either the Lions or the Dolphins end up with Tua at the number three slot in the draft.
Okay.
Now, if Detroit gets Tua, that makes it more enticing. And then whether they trade Stafford or if he sticks around and the whole, how does that work? Stafford's still our quarterback, but we know for how long since Tua's waiting in the wings, those kind of things. But other than that, Detroit sucks. Why would I want to see the Lions?
There's
the other teams we've just named, and you mentioned Big Ben's coming back. Or we mentioned Kyler Murray in Arizona, who had a really decent year in his first, the number one pick. There's another one. Denver, you got Von Miller, but it starts to fall off a little bit. Jacksonville, it's like, who, why? And Detroit, it's like, unless they would make a pick like that, and even if they did, I don't know that it would be. Don't you want a team, too, that has a chance to win? Because you know when you're checking games during the course of the year, like, hey, I watched Hard Knocks.
Well, I mean,
let's see how they're doing.
You had the Browns and the Texans on.
Yeah,
they
don't
win.
It's usually.
But the Texans will win the division, Barry. They did their job. Did I mention that Bill O'Brien and he cussed? You like that guy.
I at the time I liked how much he cursed, but now he makes me curse and I don't like it. What were you saying? Sorry, Nicholas, we cut you off.
No, I just there's nothing compelling about the Lions. I mean, maybe if you incorporate Megatron somehow into Hard Knocks, maybe, I guess. But even then, I don't see. I mean, how many years removed has Megatron? Like,
big story there is he hates the Lions, and they.
Oh yeah, because of the contract situation.
And
I completely forgot
it over
about
their
that.
Head.
Yeah.
So that could be, you're right. You could be, that's your sidebar story, but he wouldn't be on the premises and he wouldn't be doing anything with him. He'd just be voicing and then you could get the other side of it. But yeah, I think in part you want to see that Cinderella story, the one guy that they focus on has got a chance to make the team. But you need kind of like the people, like with Arizona, you got the new up-and-coming kid you want to watch in Kyler Murray. You've got the legend in Larry Fitzgerald. So people recognize that name.
Sure.
And then you've got the third story, which would be Kingsbury.
Yeah.
I don't know what your stories are in Detroit, Jacksonville, or even
Gardner
Denver.
Minshew is the only story. That's why I would have them third, is because he's this weird Uncle Rico-looking, yep, quirky dude.
Right.
He's going to be obviously a focal point of Hard Knocks, but that's probably not enough to carry the show.
I agree with you.
So, yeah, Detroit, that's just no thank you.
It's a city that declared bankruptcy. I think that could be a story.
Did it?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It was just a year ago. Within the year, Detroit declared bankruptcy.
I mean, if you told me that Detroit declared bankruptcy, it wouldn't surprise me. But I didn't know cities could actually declare bankruptcy.
Yeah. That was like a year ago.
Really?
And one of my best friends is from Detroit originally.
If you were picking a city that would declare bankruptcy in the U.S., is Detroit number one? Like major cities. I'm not talking about Conroe.
Where I live. Detroit's
shut
up there.
Nick.
Detroit.
I mean, yeah, Detroit would probably be way up there, right?
Well,
maybe Cleveland.
Or no, I think Cleveland's made a lot of progress. I think Baltimore.
Is Baltimore that?
Yeah, remember
off?
Trump got all over them, and there was that back and forth, and then there was all the different controversies around Baltimore. I think, but one of the things is people don't focus on it. There's a lot of issues with the poverty rate that people aren't addressing there. But I think that overall, I wouldn't say Cleveland, because now they got a new football stadium, a new baseball stadium. The arena is top-notch. So even when I was traveling with the Rockets, they had started, I think it's called the Flats, where they started to really make a midtown here in Houston, only on steroids. It's
okay.
All kinds of restaurants and big malls and you know, shopping areas.
Drew
and things
Carey
like
Park.
That. They've updated it.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if they've done those
biggest
same kind of things in
Drew
Detroit
Carey.
Or Baltimore.
And the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Fellas, otherwise, the Silver Dome
otherwise,
is still
no
sitting
one
there.
Cares about Cleveland.
But the Silver Dome is still sitting there.
What?
The roof collapsed, and it looks literally like a dilapidated junkyard, but the Silver Dome wasn't completely knocked down.
What a stupid city to have an old stadium just sitting around, not doing anything. What kind of dumbasses live in that city where you've got this football stadium that you're not even using anymore? And you're just like, ha, we're just going to leave it there and not do anything. How dumb.
Doesn't sound familiar at all, does it? I'm not going to join your crap on your favorite former team.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I know what I'm talking about. You guys want to see the Sabercats? Because I got an opportunity for you. You can feel the roar. Houston Sabercats rugby. Guess who's going to be there? Guy sitting to my right. Houston's own Major League Rugby team. Saturday, February the 22nd, 7 p.m. Aviva Stadium. So it's a little bit of a night action. The new Aviva Stadium that features the best seats in the country. And oh, by the way, two bars stocked with plenty of cold Carbach beer. Right now, if you want to go. Caller number 12, 713-780-3776. Caller 12, 713-780-ESPN. You win a pair of tickets to experience the excitement. Become a fan of Houston Sabercats rugby today. And if you don't win them, you can get them for just $20. HoustonSabercats.com. Good luck.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up our number 2 3-hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be in the ever-changing weather conditions of Houston, Texas, after two balmy days in the big city. Today, we're back in the 50s. I'm good with it. This is the time of year it should be in.
Happy times.
Well, it's going to be in the 40s tomorrow.
I like it. I'm holding out for one more freeze before I have to go pull weeds, and I am getting overrun with weeds.
Speaking of that, I saw your Twitter. So aside from the weeds that were just glaring at me, and I could not stop. I mean, as much as I was looking at the centerpiece of what you posted on your picture, I kept looking at these weeds going, what in the hell are you doing with your spare time that you're not taking care of your lawn?
I don't do yard work from first freeze is when I stop doing yard work until March. Just stop. I don't go outside. And
so I'm not doing mine until like April or May.
You start in July and end in July. You're like, I'm gonna do my yearly 4th of July mowing, and then that's it.
It's like me, my neighbor got mad at me about it.
It's like me washing jeans. I wash jeans once a year. You mow once a year. We both clean something.
Your neighbor got mad at you for not doing
it. She didn't like
yard?
The way, because it looks bad. Like,
yeah.
It's inside the gate, and it kind of makes their yard look bad.
Yeah.
I told that woman, mind your business, because I don't got no letter in the mailbox. Move on.
So you're going to get one now.
Yeah, maybe. You are, because she's going to pick up the phone.
I did, because I was kind of like...
Rude?
I wasn't rude. What? I was just brief. I was brief. I was just like, okay. He's like, are you going to take care of it? I'm like,
I mean, I know it looks like our house was foreclosed on, but who cares?
When my hair grows, that's when I'll take care of it.
Oh, you ain't never mowing.
She's definitely picking up the phone and calling someone so that you get that letter now.
Yeah, she is.
Whatever.
Good luck.
So, Barry posts this picture. Uh-huh. And I also didn't realize that the feral hogs crap that big. Because he posted a picture of not only the glaring weeds I could not see enough. Have I mentioned that?
Yeah.
And then
my ass.
You had somebody who allowed their pet to poop on your lawn and not pick it up.
It's a massive pile of crap. Like a massive. If I was going to scoop it, listen to me when I tell you, I would have to stand on the base of it to scoop the top of it. It is tall. And I saw it when I was taking the trash out. And I was like, you have got to, who rode their horse over here and let their horse poop in my yard? It's massive. So I posted it in my Facebook group of my neighborhood. I took a picture of it and I treated it out and just said, wow, I live around classy people. But this is what I put in the neighborhood group. And already people are either throwing their fellow neighbors under the bus or whatever. But I just put, this neighborhood is a daily reminder that money can't buy you class or manners. I said, whatever a-hole, and I used the whole word, left this, I hope you get diarrhea. And if I figure out, I figure it out after I look at my security cameras, I'm going to leave it on your porch. And I swear to you guys, on everything that is holy, if I do find out who did it, not only am I going to spread it around. I'm going to leave some on their porch. I'm going to leave some on their mailbox. I'm going to leave some on their cars.
I'm such a germaphobe. How are you going to do that?
Well, with a shovel and gloves, bro. Just going to put it all in a sack, and I'm going to drive to their house. Yeah. And I'm going to get gloves, and I'm going to throw dog crap at their house until I run out of ammo, and then I'm just going to throw the gloves down and walk off. Like, it's just the most.
I was going to say, you have security cameras.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a camera on that spot.
You should be able to pinpoint
who
did
that. I'm going to try to find out. Now, I don't know how far back it goes. I think recording goes back a week. I think I have a week's worth of recordings.
That looked fresh enough to be within the week.
Well, that was I would have seen that a day or two ago. So that's within 48 hours.
Someone's going to Aaron Hernandez your camera setup, and you're not going to be able to review anything.
But I'll tell you what it did make me consider. Getting a Doberman. Because I was like, man, I've always been told Doberman's poop like is huge. And if that's something I'd have to pick up 4 or 5 times a day, no.
They are. One of my best friends has a Doberman.
No.
They are massive, dude.
Yeah, I'm good with scooping out a cat box every morning. I'm not doing that. That's crazy.
So like, you use the whole word. So they hate you now, officially.
The what?
Well, actually, you only called one person, so it's okay.
Well, my original text, and I stopped it because then I was going to get attacked by a whole bunch of people. But I just originally wished that their dog would have got hit by a car. But I didn't post that because that's not nice. So I deleted it. And then don't get me wrong, I thought it. But then I thought, it's not the dog's fault.
No.
The dog doesn't know any better.
It's the
jerk-ass owner that just let their dog poop. So then what's great is one lady tried to be funny and was like, oh, wow, maybe that's boar, deer, or coyote poop. And I was like, ma'am, you've obviously never seen boar, deer, or coyote poop because it's none of those. It is dog crap.
Now, I will say on the news, that dude had the feral hogs. It was like 500 pounds.
I know.
It was massive. And dude killed it and took pictures with it.
Yeah. In his neighborhood?
Yeah, I think so.
With a bow or with a gun?
I don't know what he killed it with, but the damn thing was big enough you could use both.
Like I said, I've asked, and I cannot shoot them in my neighborhood, or believe me, I would start with the deer.
You can do the bow and arrow thing, plants.
I think you can use a bow and arrow, but I would start with the deer eating my plants, and then I would move on to the feral hogs. And then the possum. There's a possum that walks around my house just like it's his. At night, because I have motion detectors.
That's the beauty of having dogs.
I have motion detectors like all the way around. Like it's a floodlights, but in the light bulb is a motion detector. It's built in. So anytime there's movement around any part of my house, it lights up. And a couple nights ago, just playing games, 2 a.m, my back lights go off. I was like, oh, hell no. Jumped up, went to here's some of this little possum just walking through my back porch. I was like, well.
You would have killed it?
They're mean.
Get a paintball gun. It's effective.
If it was a little raccoon, I wouldn't have done anything.
They wouldn't mess with
possums. Are mean.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a paintball gun.
I could do that. Or a BB gun.
Well, see, I think a BB, it might puncture.
Oh, that's true.
The skin, but see, like a paintball is like kind of it's made out of a similar material like that. Those Tylenol capsules. It's like similar material, and then you just put paint in it.
Okay.
It might leave it a bruise. It'll survive. You know.
So one lady posts on my thread in my neighborhood group, I'm not sure where you live, but there's a woman who rides a bike with her large black and white unleashed dog that walks alongside her and goes into other neighborhoods' front yards to relieve himself west of a street. Gave me the whole street name. I've only seen her in the last 4 or 5 weeks, so it drives me crazy. Oh, trust me, if I find out, I'm a follower.
Man, they're just calling everybody out.
Yeah, boy, it's getting crazy. One lady thought she'd be funny and say something about comedy. I have no idea. I'm like...
Well, you deserve that because you do torture the people on your
group. I don't know if she knows English, so I'm going to leave it alone.
I'm going to say this. The reason why you have the Doberman is then you wouldn't have the possums.
That's true.
Yeah, because believe me, all I got to do is open my back door, and you don't want dances with wolves on your ass, possum. You get the hell out of there before you know what's good for you.
Yeah, that's...
And I'm also going to give you another recommendation. I call them the Jaws for Life, but if you're worried about the Doberman poop...
Yes.
There is a one-handed pooper scooper where literally it's like a grip.
Okay.
Like a vice grip type thing. You squeeze it, the jaw's open. You release, the jaw's shut. You do nothing but carry around like essentially like a
big metal like trash picker
upper. It's like a high-tech trash picker upper. And literally in one hand, you can clean up all your poop. Now, if you're a real man like me, use the plastic bags.
You just reach down and grab a handful of warm crap?
Well, you put your hand in it, but it's still disgusting, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would never do it.
There's no way that I could put... What?
Yeah, I would just leave it. I'd just leave it in your yard, Barry.
For some reason, I've no doubt in my mind.
Chiquita would leave it in your yard. I'm not picking it up with my hand.
You know what? I'm sure that there's little, like, chihuahua-sized poop in my yard. I don't notice it. But I'm telling you... I could flip my riding mower on this thing if I hit it going too fast.
Nick, go on Twitter.
It could literally cause me to flip. It's huge. I'm not, and then that's what made me more mad. So I thought about it. I was like, all right, Barry, don't be irrational. It's just poop. And then I thought, no, because if I drive through that, which I would have to mow it, now I'm going to have poop under my mower, stanking to all be damned. It's going to get in my tires. Now I'm parking it because I parked my mower in the garage. Now my whole garage is going to smell like dog crap. No, this matters. Like, how dare you? What I should do is once I find out, I'm going to go poop in their yard. I'm just going to take a big old human crap right in their yard.
Or do what I did when people were porch pirating when we lived in Midtown.
Leave it in a box.
Just get a bunch of poop in a box and make it look like a FedEx delivery. Drop it on their front porch. They're going to open it up like it's Christmas, and they're going to dig their hand in it and find out.
I would like that.
You can get them.
Yeah.
Got them? Good. All right, with that being said, 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go. We'll put 60 minutes on the clock, take you till 4 next. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.